from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. Cody and Gold live out at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. Practice expected to be about another hour or so, hour and a half at max for a Tuesday edition, a game week edition of practice, I guess, technically.
Game week? Oh, it is, on Saturday.
It is a game week, technically.
Think Mahomes going to get out there for a quarter? A series?
Yeah.
Usually it's a series.
I don't think a quarter. I don't think a quarter.
And just as long as it's not like last year's offense, it shouldn't take a damn quarter for one series.
I think it's a one series max, even if they go three and out on Saturday. We'll obviously later in the week discuss a preseason game against the Jags. But we are up in St. Joe inside the Comcast business tent, powering possibilities. And our training camp coverage is presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. It is the nicest day of training camp. A nice crowd here on a Tuesday, too. Nicest day. It is a very nice 69 degrees outside.
It's comfortable.
Cody went, and so did I. We went up back to the car to go grab a little jacket, a pullover.
You know, it gets a little breezy, and so this is not complaining about the weather. It is stunning outside.
It's great outside.
There was a little bit of crosswind in here, and I just thought, you know, for the next hour or so, that might not be the worst thing to have. So went back up to the car, feeling good. This might be, I have been, as we just talked on the show a couple days ago, I have been covering Chiefs training camp. I've been coming to Chiefs training camp for 10 consecutive years.
Uh-huh.
This might be, absent sun, I guess, which I don't really care about in this moment, the single nicest training camp day I've ever been to. It's not even 70 degrees. It feels great out here.
How do you think
it's been all day outside?
How do you think the players feel? We're going to talk to Drew Tranquil a little bit later on in the 11 o'clock hour today. He's going to join us exclusively on Cody and Gold and 610 Sports Radio after practice. We're also expected to hear from Rashee Rice. It'll be the first time we've heard from Rashee Rice during training camp. And at this point, here we are, August the 6th. Still no news on the suspension front. I'm sure one of the questions he gets asked is going to be, do you think?
You know when you're going to be suspended?
Do you think you're going to? Do you know if you're going to?
Do you think you should be?
My guess is he doesn't know. I don't think, other than maybe the Chiefs having some sort of conversations with the league, even if they publicly have denied it, I do think there's plenty of uncertainty around that. So Rashee Rice is going to speak today, also Steve Spagnuolo. So we'll bring you all of that throughout the next 4 hours and really the next hour and a half or so when practice does, in fact, wrap up. Someone that's probably feeling pretty good today, though, Cody, is one Harrison Butker. He gets a new contract, the highest paid kicker now in NFL history. We were just briefly yesterday on the show discussing like Matt Araiza, who spoke, and like the punter, and like, hey, they saved some money by signing him
not
and moving
the
on
highest
from
paid
Tommy
punter in the league. Yeah.
Moving on from Tommy Townsend. This is another reason why they make that move, because you're not going to have the highest paid punter and the highest paid kicker in the league. And you'll go with the kicker who now is going to make over 4 years, $25.6 million, $17.8 million guaranteed at 6.4 per year. That's the highest paid kicker in the league. And you know now throughout this dynasty run, you're going to have the best kicker in football. Nobody, you can agree with this, even if you still look at Tucker. Nobody, though, has made bigger kicks, more memorable kicks the last 5-plus years than Harrison Butker.
No, but he's also, you know, he's been in more games. So, like, he's been given more opportunities.
And this team went to Super Bowls because he made some kicks in an AFC title game as well. I have no problem with this deal whatsoever. It makes all the sense in the world when you consider also, now that we know the dollar amount and put it in perspective, it's not that much money if we're talking about some of these other deals that they might have to get done.
No, but it's like it's high for kicker standards. Like, I can't – I'm not, like, over the moon. Like, thank God it's only Harrison Butker. They have made other kickers work. Cairo Santos, for instance, has put up really similar numbers to Harrison Butker in the regular season over the last 3 years of each of their contracts, and he cost essentially nickels. But if you've got one of the best kickers in the game at any position, honest to God, this goes to any position. If you can make an argument that they are the best player in the sport at their position, that's who you pay. Like Chris Jones is the best player at his position in the sport, you pay him. The only guy they haven't done that with over the last, I'd say, 6 or 7 years is Tyreek Hill. That's the only guy I think that they didn't pay who you could make the argument at the time he was either the best or one of the best players at their entire spot. They paid Chris Jones, they paid Travis Kelce, they paid Patrick Mahomes. Anyone else, and I think they'll eventually pay Trent McDuffie, who you can make that argument about right now. For the most part, those bigger contracts, as in we're going to make you the highest paid player at your position, comes with the guys you can make the argument they're the best player in the sport. Otherwise, you hit free agency, and somebody else pays you like the best player, and you're not. That's not the case here with Harrison Butker. He has made a lot of massive kicks for this
team.
I guess he'll continue to make them for the next 4 years.
I mean, you make the kicks that you have an opportunity to make, and he's done that just about every single time. He's the best kicker in the league, and nobody can argue who's made more memorable or bigger kicks in the NFL. I said over the last 5 years, it's probably more than that if we're being honest. Like, Justin Tucker's incredible, but he hasn't made the bigger kicks and the more memorable kicks. And, yeah, you want to say it's because the Ravens haven't been in the Super Bowl. Well, that's the pressure's on to make those kicks in the Super Bowl. The pressure's on to make a game-winning kick in an AFC title game to move past Cincinnati like he did a couple seasons ago. So I totally think it makes all the sense in the world to get it done. Am I surprised? We're going to talk more about this a little bit later this hour. Am I surprised that he got his deal done before Creed Humphrey? I am, but also
it's $4.5 million a year.
Creed Humphrey's deal is going to be a little bit more money if a deal happens than Harrison Butker's. But this deal is also, to your point about paying the best at the position, this deal is also why, to me, you make the Creed Humphrey deal happen. The same arguments of, hey, well,
can you make an argument that they're the best player?
Yeah, like the same thing applies for Creed Humphrey as well, and so we can talk about that angle. But yeah, Harrison Butker probably feeling pretty good, and to his credit, Cody, to his credit, he negotiated the deal on his own, so he didn't have to give up that, I don't know, 3%, that 5%. That's also a nice feeling. Negotiate that thing on your own, you don't have to give back any money. Good on him for that.
I mean, if you can, I mean, every once in a while people go through it, it seems like a lot of work. If I were making that amount of money, and I know you don't want to give up every nickel, because not that long ago some football player went viral because he shared his check and it's like, I'm making like 45% of the amount it says I'm making. I'm like, yeah, I know, but also that amount you're making is $6.7 million, so I don't feel all that bad. It's a little bit of like the Rashid thing, like I gotta feed my family. Like, you see how much money you make, right? You can definitely still feed your family based on that amount. I think this is just about where the Chiefs have prioritized who they pay. And if they, and what we just discussed about the best players available at that time, that is who they have prioritized. I would tell you from a general standpoint, I don't, like, just a general rule of thumb, I'll make the exception for this one because of what you said, the kicks you've made and the low, but like, I just hate paying kickers, punters, running backs.
I hear you.
Top into the mark. I just hate it. Almost 99% of the time across the board, I'm going to be against that salary. But I would tell you, I'd make an exception for Christian McCaffrey, or right, I'd make an exception for Justin Tucker. So there's got to be wiggle room inside that rule. So there's part of me that is like, ooh, that's a lot for a kicker.
Cody's watching Butker kick in front of us, trying to make 60-yarders. He's missing. Cody doesn't think he's worth the money anymore.
You know,
yeah, he's not. He's,
that wind's getting him or something. Hits his money, then gets all comfortable. I see how it is.
Only trying.
Oh, got all of his cash, and then doesn't want to make 60-yard kicks anymore. Okay.
60-yarders from.
He misses this one. He's about to. Is Chester sent him a little closer?
They're moving up. No, but yeah, this is hopefully the first still of another deal that happens before the season. And, you know, Nate Taylor had joined us last week. I think we've all acknowledged that in the way Creed Humphrey answered the question last week, that the difference in the way Creed Humphrey answered versus the way Nick Bolton answered this question about a contract. Creed Humphrey answered like a guy that thinks his agent is about to get a deal done. Nick Bolton answered as if nothing's close to happening. And I thought there was a clear difference between the two over the last month. And so I do think Creed Humphrey's probably still next, but I have no problem whatsoever with the best kicker in football and the guy that makes these kicks getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, he was borderline the MVP of the Super Bowl last year.
Almost won it. Dude. Almost until Patrick Mahomes did Patrick Mahomes thing.
You can make some a people, case.
Some people we knew almost cashed the most improbable Super Bowl MVP ticket of all damn. I saw, I mean, someone we know showed us one.
Yep.
At the game.
But that also get that scenario is exactly why you don't bet on a kicker to win MVP, though. Like, at the same time, because
99% of it was perfect and they still wouldn't get
correct. That's like, that's the argument of why you don't do it. Like, I get it. For four quarters, man, you got teased for four quarters. I get it.
But that, it was so close.
But that's why you don't bet on the kicker.
In a weird
because
way,
all
that's
it
why...
takes is the quarterback. The game goes to overtime. Once it went to overtime, it was over because Mahomes was always, Brock Purdy was always going to be the MVP at that point.
But I would make the argument, because we talked about this when we were looking up different, you know, and this is where betting can be kind of fun. You would make this argument, I'm confident, because anybody who sports wagers regularly would make this argument. Just because you lost a bet did not make it a bad bet.
I didn't say it was a bad bet.
Because of the odds that you got on Harrison Butker, it was actually a pretty damn good bet. You lost it, but the bet odds you got, we looked up the other day on someone to throw a no-hitter, and you were only getting like 25-1. Miserable.
Right.
Miserable odds for a no-hitter. This is actually, it was a good bet. Because if there was going to be a time that a kicker got MVP, it was going to be that damn game.
The scenario was set up. Yeah, the scenario was set up, and you're right. Sometimes, you know, you lose a bet, and the logic behind it was still good. But ultimately, right, the goal of the game is to win money, not prove that you were the smartest guy in the room to make the bet.
No, but sometimes smart bets are based on, are you getting good odds on what something is likely to happen sometimes?
No,
and you place enough of those value bets, you do hit those sometimes.
No, value is important. I'm guilty of this as well. Sometimes I talk way too much about value, and then ultimately it's like, hey, the dude's a favorite for a reason. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm getting somebody besides Scottie Scheffler. He's the favorite because he wins every.
Sometimes
turn.
You know what? You don't need to be like, you know what? I'm picking someone that's way down the board. I want to prove how smart I am. No, just the favorite sometimes is the favorite for a reason. Anyway,
betting on the quarterback to win the MVP of the Super Bowl is a pretty safe bet.
What else have you noticed at camp? People are asking about Creed Humphrey now and how his snapping has been going on the text line.
Perfect.
Yeah, the snapping.
He's fixed it.
The snapping truly hasn't been an issue during practice that we can notice. We're going to find out in the game here on Saturday against Jacksonville. And when it comes to the contract, we've said it over and over. If they were really worried about snapping, then the contract stuff would be a whole different conversation. They're not worried about the snapping from Creed Humphrey.
Today I've seen one deep pass to Kadarius Toney in which he came up a little bit gingerly.
Yep.
And I've seen two deep pass attempts at least to Hollywood Brown today.
Not looks like an 1,100-yard receiver to me.
Instead, yeah, I'm sure you do. Take Tuesday from Alex. He says Hollywood's going to have 1,100 yards.
Is that video out yet?
I don't know.
It'll be out later on 610. Sports KC on Twitter.
Not sure. It could be out, though. But they've taken, again, the deep pass. They are so – I'm a little – there's part of you with the deep pass that it's the line from Mean Girls where you're like, quit trying to make fetch happen. Like, this better work. You have spent an improbable amount of the limited time you get in a training camp on throwing the ball 55 yards down the field. It better damn work or you've wasted a tremendous amount of your practice time.
But I think we've seen enough from Andy Reid. Like, there's a reason why this is they truly believe this is going to be either – a huge focus of the offense, or they feel comfortable about everything else. They're not throwing deep every single time, but this is clearly going to be part of this offense this year. They recognize how badly they needed it after last season. I know they won the Super Bowl. We all watched the regular season. We've heard Mahomes say that it wasn't fun during the regular season, which is definitely first world problems. You know, you say that to a Chicago Bears fan or somebody, and they're like, oh, give me a break. What do you mean it wasn't fun? You won the Super Bowl. But
The regular season wasn't fun.
That's what's great about Mahomes and this team and why you're not worried about complacency or anything like that trying to three-peat, because they know the regular season was not what they wanted it to be. And the deep passing game can make it a lot more fun for everybody, not just for fans, but for those guys in the huddle as well. And, yeah, it's been worthy mainly throughout camp. And today, you're right, it's been a little more focused on Hollywood Brown with some deep passing opportunities. Some other observations we'll point out, though. Chris Jones down on the practice field but not practicing. Yesterday, Andy mentioned a little stinger in the shoulder. I'm guessing it's the same thing. Derek Nnadi, back at practice, clearly off the PUP list, was in pads. He did go to the tent for a little bit. He took off his pads. I don't know if they were just – and then he put him back on, so maybe they were just adjusting something.
Yeah, Jalen Watson is out of the yellow, out of the gold jersey.
Yeah, they can hit him. He can hit. He can hit. That's what that means.
You get popped.
That's right. That lean into that shoulder a little bit.
You know, if you've ever been hurt in any capacity, and most of us have played at least some sport somewhere along the way, that first, like when I tore my knees, like when I've gotten ligament tears, that first, like, I'm going to run or I'm going to get hit or I'm going to feel, it's never. It is a very scary moment a lot of times where you have an off-season surgery and you got to get hit for the first time. I'm sure for Pacheco, who didn't get hit at all last year, all of a sudden you deal with it.
At 6'10 day at the K, the hot dog derby, you've got to overcome your fears of losing last year. When you race, you got to go back to the scene of the crime. When the hot dog derby wasn't a good experience for you, I get it.
He hasn't told us yet whether or not at 6'10 day at the K, what everyone's responsibilities are. Sent an email out. Our boss, a little behind the scenes, our boss sent out an email and he said, hey, here are the things we normally do. Throw out the first pitch, hot dog derby. Here are the things that are usually available. I sent an email back, and this is what I said.
You did respond.
I did respond. I said, I am willing to do whatever this station needs. I said, dress up like the Sasquatch for Vinny, if that's what it takes. You want me to throw out the first pitch? I'll throw out the first pitch. You want me to catch it? I'll catch it. I did promise the audience that I will race in a hot dog derby every day till the day I die until I win one. So I have offered to do that as well.
Okay.
I do not know what I will be selected for. That has not been made clear to me. But it is clear that there will be jobs available. It is August 19th. We'll all be out at the K for our station's night at the K. So, you know, you get a chance to see it then.
So you emailed. Did anybody else email back? Drew, did you email back?
I did back.
What did you request?
I was like, I'll be honest. I do not want to run a hot dog derby again after I got choked down by the suit.
Wow.
So well, I was like,
who's left, Mac? I guess. I don't want to race against someone who's 25.
I think the derby, if you insist on being in, it's still fine. Otherwise, it should be Mac. Rob hasn't done it, I don't think. So Mac, Rob, and
C-Don? See, not ever been the hot dog derby?
I've done it before. I didn't email back spec, actually. But
there's a huge height advantage.
I think
Rob's going to have a massive advantage.
I think he knows, if he's listened to the segments we've had about this before, that I have no interest in doing the hot dog derby again at 6:10 day at the K. I have no interest because I've won. I'm going out on top. I went out on top of the Spud race at a minor league game in Boise. I was a potato, and I was ketchup. I don't need to do it anymore. So if you throw out the first pitch, I'm assuming that means I'm catching the first pitch.
Could be. Don't know. I was surprised you didn't offer to throw the first pitch. What a cool thing to get to do in a baseball game, a major league baseball game. You could toss out the first pitch. You don't want that?
I think as much as part of life is overcoming issues and fears, it's also recognizing what you shouldn't be doing. And
you're
so
saying,
I don't need to throw out the first pitch
Based on the last video of your first pitch, too risky.
I've thrown a first pitch before. I don't need to do it again. Just like I don't need to do the hot dog derby again. Mm. That was for winning. This one's for different reasons.
They're not the same.
Yeah.
I'll never forgive myself because I swear, Drew, I should be able to win the hot dog derby. But I'm not good at racing in the costume. The first hot dog derby we ever raced, I raced our producer, former producer Nick Short, in the parking lot and beat him. I beat him in a sprint.
And then his foot
I was faster than him, and then my foot got in trouble, and then I got
gout.
I got on that one, I just ran slower. Nick had a good lead, and I tried to close the gap, and I didn't make it up at the end. And then in the second race, I genuinely got worried I was going to run into the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one that was last year when you were talking
about
that.
So we'll see. I know you want to sing at the K, too, so maybe they'll let you do that.
I'll do anything they want. They want me to do the national anthem. They want me to be the Sasquatch. They want me to do first pitch. They want me to do the hot dog derby. They want me to do the, like, which baseball is the cup under on the Jumbotron. I don't care. Whatever they need me for that day, I'm a company man.
Yeah,
you know,
the race Bobby thing would be funny because I have a feeling they can crank up that animation and make Bobby go even faster and really embarrass you. So we'll see. We'll be at it.
8:19, by the way, for those asking.
Oh, for 6:10 day at the K?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
So I guess a week from yesterday? No, 2 weeks.
2 weeks from yesterday, yeah.
2 weeks.
Thinking of the K and thinking of the Royals, last night at the K did not go as planned, to say the least. Royals lose to the Boston Red Sox. We know that. So they got two left in this series against Boston to try to salvage it. Last night, I think we found out for a guy that has pitched so well all year, like Brady Singer's been great. He's been terrific. But in two outings against Boston,
they have his ass.
It's been a struggle. They got his number. Whether you want to say it's his kryptonite or whatever, they have his number. And he's, that lefty lineup has been giving him some fits a little bit. And I still think he battled and gave them a chance to win. And then
I thought it was a fight, but he fought.
Then you had, the bullpen come in yet again. And this time it was another name, by the way, that people have thrown out over the last month.
It was just it was their turn to be bad.
Anoserpa. And last night he was awful. And that we could say about a lot of guys at times.
He had, and this is I swear to God, every time we have a conversation, then we'll talk about Singer for a little bit, because I think maybe that's the biggest story out of the game, but he has, every single game we have the same conversation, which is, I can give you a stat about how much better they were up until the moment that you remember them being awful. Angel Zerpa had stranded in 9 straight appearances every runner that had been on base at the time he came in. He was the king of this. He was coming in and stranding guys left and right, back and forth, no problems. Zerpa coming in and just leaving base runners hanging, keeping runs off the board. came in last night, and it was the opposite.
It's a reminder.
He let both guys score, then let 17,000 more score the following inning. So it was like, it was just a bad outing. And I don't let bad outings bury things sometimes.
No, but you're right. It was interesting. Last Saturday, when MacArthur and when Harvey and Bubich, you know, gave up runs and blew the save, there were a lot of people after the game, Cody, that said, oh, they should have gone to who? Angel Serpa.
Uh-huh.
So anything can happen in any given. There is no sure thing in the bullpen. By the way, not many teams have that. The Royals, unfortunately, don't have one guy right now that you can feel really good about. I know we all like what we're seeing from Urseg. It's such a small sample size, and we have to see more to get to a point where anybody's going to just feel great. I know right now he's the name. Like, if you were to pull every single Royals fan, he's the name right now everybody thinks should be and they trust the most. But it's still a very small sample size. But at times it was Sam Long that people wanted. At times it's been Serpa. At times it was Hunter Harvey. At times it was Will Smith. There's people talking about wanting guys that they already said to move on from in April want back.
Let's start with Will Smith tomorrow because I pulled up some numbers on him. And they're pretty good.
He's been a lot better. Like, we're back in this cycle. And that's what happens when you don't have consistency in your bullpen, that you're searching for answers.
Yeah, I think that this is... Bullpens are inconsistent, naturally. I'll just tell you right now, I'll go to every damn bullpen in the league if you want to show the inconsistencies. There's a reason why they are relievers. Cole, there are like six relievers, seven relievers on every team. Do you really think that there are 240 good relievers in baseball? There aren't that many good pitchers, great pitchers, consistent pitchers. There's a reason why we get there. Last night's game boils down pretty simple for me. If you have as many lefties as the Red Sox seem to, which I guess is 90, did they just sign only left-handed players in the offseason? Dear God, they rolled out seven lefties.
Well, they're playing Brady Singer.
How many teams can do that? And the splits suggest if you're going against Brady Singer, throw as many lefties as you can in the order, which is a thing that we'll have to focus on. Let's say if they had to face the Red Sox in the playoffs or another
team that had a big
lefty bench. They might have to readjust or move some things around and not, like, obviously he's going to have to pitch, but you're going to have to be more careful with him than you've been before. But that last night's game boiled down pretty simple for me. Did you have enough offense? Yeah, later in the game. Vinny hit a home run. Bobby got an RBI. You got enough offense to kind of feel good about it. Brady let you down. He battled. If Zerpa strands the guys, that game, by the way, is like 6-5 in the eighth.
Instead of 8-2.
Yeah, it's just like the game got out of control because Zerpa couldn't hold the two runs. And then after he did that, he had a bad day. He had a bad day at the office. And one bad day out of the bullpen can kind of ruin the outing.
That's Cody's next song. It's the cover of Because He Had a Bad Day or whatever, whoever sang that song.
Because He Had a Bad Day. That's just about any bullpen arm?
That'll be, yes. That's the next song for you, I think.
I don't even know. I can't remember who sings that song.
I can't either. But is that Augustana? No.
No. It's like James something or...
Why am I... Oh, man.
Daniel Powder.
Daniel Powder. I was never going to
really?
Get that.
You could have given
Daniel
me an hour.
Powder?
You could have given me an hour to guess that. It came out in 2005. Self-titled second studio album.
Because he had a bad
20 years ago almost. Goodness.
That song's 20 years
you
old?
Almost. A sad song just to turn it around. Anyway.
Work. It would just have to be like I get to fill in a different name depending. I record 20 different versions of the song and I just say something about Zerpa or Long or MacArthur or Harvey or anyone else. It's an inconsistent bullpen. They got beat. That game didn't stand out as being like look how badly you screwed all this up. They just got beat. Their bullpen pitched worse, their starter pitched worse, and they lost. I don't know. Did you feel, like, really bad coming out of that game? It just felt like a weird way, a run-of-the-mill loss. The only thing that stood out was that Brady Singer can't hit lefties. That seems problematic.
Well, that, but also just, hey, this is a series against the Red Sox. We call it a big boy series. Now you got two left. Let's see what the rest of the...
Yeah, win this one today.
You have Reagans and Lugo still going, so you've got your two best pitchers, I still think, available in the series. And so let's see how this plays out. Yeah, I mean, I think if they were to lose tonight and you're going into a Wednesday game and you're trying to avoid a sweep, that's a whole different conversation
at that point in time. Yeah.
But look, you look at last night's results, what the Guardians lost, if I'm not mistaken.
They did. They lost in extras. They lost 10 or 11.
The Twins did win, and the Red Sox won. So in the wild card race, things tightened up.
Still in the same spot you were in before. You're now a game and a half back of Minnesota, which is not significant. And you're actually technically the same distance as you were yesterday to the Guardians. So you haven't, you haven't hurt yourself in that positioning, really. It's one game. I think you said on Twitter the other day, and I think this is always something that's hard to remember as a sports fan, is you're like, you know, I, for one, thought every the world's going to win every game the rest of the year. That's just not how it's going to go. The key is you can – I don't think – you definitely can't get swept. I don't think you should lose a series in which Singer, Reagans, and Lugo pitch.
Agreed.
So I think you should still win this series, even though you've lost the first game.
It's a whole change.
That's a series win, in my opinion, every time.
Mindset changes so quickly, though. They win tonight with they win tonight, and then we're talking about winning the series on Wednesday. I mean, it's such a quick switch, and that's the beautiful thing about baseball. Like, last night sucks, just like last Saturday night sucked, and then Sunday, all of a sudden, MJ hits a home run, and we're feeling so much different. I mean, it can change in a second. The Royals could go out there and score seven runs and win 7-1 tonight. I mean, anything can happen. They definitely need to have a much better performance from their starter tonight. Even though, as you said, I agree, Brady Singer to me battled enough to where he still gave you a shot before the bullpen unfortunately couldn't withstand things and it blew up on them, right? It completely blew in their face at that point in time. All right, coming up next, though, we continue broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp. We are inside the Comcast business tent, powering possibilities. Let's talk more about the next deals to come. Butker just got his Who's Next, and does this actually mean anything for who could get that deal? We'll do that next on Cody and Gold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Reminder, in the 11 o'clock hour today, we're expected to have Drew Tranquil, Chief linebacker, join us. We also have our video stream up, so when Drew joins us, you can check out the video stream on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube as well. And so we appreciate Comcast and our Comcast business tent powering possibilities. We mentioned Harrison Butker gets a 4-year extension. He's the highest paid kicker in the NFL, and why that makes a lot of sense. But we were both surprised that maybe Creed Humphrey or Trey Smith didn't get a deal done first. So does this have any bearing? Like, do you look at the money that was given? Does this have any bearing, in your opinion, on one or both or neither getting a deal done before the season?
It feels like they were choosing to try to get the smaller deal done. I wonder a little bit. It gives me a perspective on the guys they've been able to get done earlier in camp or earlier in the offseason the last couple of years. It took forever with Chris Jones. It took a whole damn year. Couldn't even get done in the offseason, Gold. They had to wait a whole calendar year to get the thing done. I think that's definitely the case with Nick Bolton. I think that if the numbers are close, the Chiefs will get deals done for these players. And that's why you're not hearing anything with Creed. That's why I'm still convinced Creed might get a deal. Or Trey might get a deal. It's been quiet on their front where you're not hearing the same things we have heard on Nick Bolton. But the actual money that Butker got, it should not be impacting the money that they would get. My fear on Trey Smith is guard money. The guard contracts affect him more than I feel like anything Butker just got is what every other guard, like Minerns or whoever, right, got this offseason.
Yeah, that's the issue, is where the guard market is at, and it complicates things. And whether or not the Chiefs were close or not close on a deal with Trey, I do wonder once the Quinn Meinerz deal came out with the Denver Broncos, if that kind of changed a little bit of the price. I think it absolutely had to have, knowing that Meinerz is now, what, the third highest paid on average salary guard in football. And let's be honest, Trey Smith is just better than him.
He is.
He's just a better football player, and so that complicates it. And, you know, we always talk about, you know, do you take a more friendly deal and all that. There's nothing that requires the player to do that. How much do you value staying on in the middle of a dynasty with the best quarterback in football? Does that get you more flexibility in language on the contract? Maybe, but it's not like you're going to take $3 million less a year because of it. So,
you might take. It's always the funny thing. It's like, will you give them? Yeah, like you said, contractual flexibility to handle those things, and will you take $500,000 less? Or what really matters is $4 million less in guarantees. The total amount of the contract, and certainly what you can earn, will equal that of others, but it might not be as much money up front or as much money in the guarantees. That's what the Chiefs have tried to move the market. But I'll tell you, that only applies, back to the thing we'd said before, They only do that to the players that aren't the best at their position. So Trey, in my opinion, Trey and Bolton are more in that position where they're going to see if they can squeeze you here and there than Creed. And then Butker was. Because in Chris Jones' case, they just gave him the most guaranteed money ever for an interior defensive. You know, like they just, except for Aaron Donald, I guess. They just made him.
Oh, but to your point, Chris Jones is a future Hall of Famer. He is the best interior defensive lineman, plain and simple, in football. Creed Humphrey, I think, is the best center now that Jason Kelce has retired.
I think he is, too.
In football, assuming the snapping has been cleared up, and it based off of just practices.
My personal stance is that he has.
It has been cleared up.
I'm calling it completely solved.
During practice. We'll see during games. And honestly, it's not even during preseason. I think the only way you'll know 100% would be
on a cold November day.
Yeah, it's when it's like in October, November when the fields get a little moist and things like that. I know you hate me when I say the word moist. My apologies. When the field's
a little weird wet.
When it's a little wet out there. How about that?
You can't say moist and wet next to each other. Nobody wants you saying those two words when there's that close to each other. Say a different
word. There's some precipitation.
Yeah,
on
there, that's better.
That clip has been saved, by the way.
No, I don't think it. I truly don't think that this contract impacts this. But as I had said maybe earlier, I kind of thought Creed would have a deal by now.
Agreed. I
kind of thought that contract would be locked up by now. So. This goes into the same camp as like Chris Jones or others now, where I've hit the threshold where with each day it doesn't happen, I'm like a smidge less confident that it will. Not a significant amount in Creed's case, more in Trey or Nick Bolton's case, and I don't think Nick Bolton's getting a deal just based on his own verbiage this offseason, but like when I look at what he is, it's like, you know, maybe it's like 0.25% or 0.5%, and then we get 2 weeks from now, Gold, we're two preseason games in, and then it starts like a percentage or two a day. Because I just thought he'd have a deal by now. The way they talk about Creed and the way I have seen other teams value the center position with elite quarterbacks would suggest to me they just want Creed here. Like every great quarterback. It was the same guy for Peyton,
before the season.
Same guy for Brady. That's a pretty consistent theme.
Before the season, I still think Creed gets his deal done. I'm more skeptical on Trey Smith just because of the adjustment. But if the Chiefs are able to get both of them locked up long term, along with the Butker deal that they got done yesterday, then once again, I mean, you look at this organization and the, you know, stability. You're going to pick a few pieces that you're going to have throughout this run, or if you will, and then you're going to consistently have to draft as well as they have. You know, you're going to have to be able to turn a six-round pick like a Trey Smith, and I understand he fell in the draft because of health concerns and they were comfortable with it, and fortunately for him, that's not been an issue in the NFL, and so they got a guy that normally would have been a second or third rounder. Either way, we would have been talking about a second or third round guard playing at this level. Same thing. You've got to be at these positions, you've got to be able to continue to identify. And we'll, you know, this year's draft class, everybody's talking about Worthy and Kingsley Suamataia. Okay, those are the first and second round guys, but who do they draft? Maybe it's Jaden Hicks. Who do they draft later that all of a sudden we're like, man, what another steal again? They're basically on a rookie deal, not paying him any money, and now he's your starting safety.
You could probably make the argument that no one's done a better job in the overall draft than anyone in the league over that time, obviously, with Brett Veach. But specifically, rounds 4 through 7, he's lapping the field. That's where he's just kicking everyone's ass. He's not just doing a better job. He's doing a way better job than anyone else in the league. And I know that other people have found steals, like Amon-Ra St. Brown was a 4th-round pick, and other teams, and Brock Purdy, hell, was a 7th-round pick. So it's not like you can't find the talent there. But the Chiefs have found starting corners, starting running backs, starting guards, they have found any position, starting corners, any position they could possibly need in those 4th through 7th rounds. So, yeah, there'll still be more of that. But, I mean, I'm more and more about Trey's deal than the other way around.
Again, Drew Tranquil going to join us from Chiefs training camp after practice today, which is expected to wrap up in the 11 o'clock hour. Based on the schedule for the week, harder practice today, lighter practice tomorrow. That's the expectation. Then they're off on Thursday and Friday as they eventually will start to travel for the first time of the year down to Jacksonville for the first preseason game.
Take on the Jags.
First preseason game of 2024, man.
I'm excited.
A lot of football. From this point on, man.
Football.
This point on, basically, after this weekend, we pretty much have football. Not pretty much. We have football every week after this weekend.
Like, Hall of Fame game doesn't count because it hasn't made 4 quarters in like a decade. Yeah. It was just some like comedy of errors that happens to that day.
We didn't need 4 quarters of that.
No, we
didn't need 4 quarters of that anyway.
What do you mean? You didn't want, you know, 4 quarters of Bajent?
No, I was good with that. Coming up in 20 minutes, we will talk about a move, a contract, a trade that could really shake up the NFL before the start of the season. The latest with Brandon Ayuk and the trade rumors out of San Francisco, suddenly could he actually get traded? Something I didn't think was possible
far more
before the
real.
Start of the season. So we'll get to that in 20 minutes. But let's get back to the Royals a little bit. Actually, just a funny conversation Vinny Pasquantino was having. He was on with Chris Rose and talking about the Royal season, but they got into the topic of Marriott points, okay? And, you know, as players, they are constantly staying in different hotels and, you know, you have an opportunity to
sure.
earn points or whatever. And I guess I didn't realize.
Free travel points. And Marriott's got the best setup in the world for that.
the Bonvoy.
This is free advertisement.
Marriott Bonvoy. There you
Dude,
go.
Dude, it's the best rewards.
Or the commercial that once aired, Marriott.
Yeah, that is technically what their website
Everybody
says.
Everybody says Marriott, though.
I know.
Everybody says Marriott.
That's how I say it.
Anyway, so.
Well, because I say it right. Marriott. Sponsor us.
It turns out they're not allowed to use the points, but they get free nights. Can't use the points. But listen to Vinny explain, despite Bobby Wood Jr.'s new contract, that he still cares.
Is it your alias at the hotels?
No, because when we stay at Marriott's, I like to get the points, so I just use my real name to get the nights.
You did not just say that, did you?
I'm like a titanium elite member in Marriott, thanks to staying at Marriott's on the road.
Do you think Bobby Witt does the same because he likes to get his Marriott points?
He tries to get his nights, but he uses a different name.
I was saying that because he's got a $260 million contract and probably doesn't need the points.
No, but he still wants the points.
He does not.
Yes, he does. We talk about it quite a bit. He's like, yeah, I tried to go get my points, but they wouldn't let me because the name.
They don't believe that he's Bobby Witt Jr., that they won't give him the points because he uses an alias on the road.
Well, no, they believe that it's him, but they're like, well, it's under this name, so we can't give it to your account. And he's like, well, why not? I'm standing right in front of you.
You would think, hey, no problem, Bobby Witt Jr. Here's your 287 points you earned tonight. Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah, well, technically, I guess they don't give you the points because the team pays for the room, but you can get the nights. I like getting the nights because it just adds up, because if you get enough free nights, then you get free rooms, and then I use it in the offseason.
I want you to not have to count Marriott nights and Marriott points at some point in your career.
I'm always going to be counting Marriott points. That don't matter. I've got my favorite restaurant in Kansas City that I go to for lunch, Potbelly. I mean, I'm grinding points right now on Potbelly, getting free sandwiches left and right.
So if you get a nine-figure contract one day, you are still going to be the Potbelly card carrier?
Yeah, 1,000%.
So that was Vinny with Chris Rose yesterday.
I respect it. He's using his real name.
Yes, because he
wants the free nights.
He's like, look, I mean,
who among us?
Eventually, he's probably going to get a nice contract. Hopefully, it's in Kansas City. And at that point in time, he claims he's still going to be going after those free nights. Look, we've talked about this before with celebrities or whatever. Just because you're making millions of dollars eventually or whatever, nobody hates free. Nobody hates free things.
It doesn't matter.
In fact, I would argue the richer you become, the less you end up paying for. People want to give you free stuff.
The more free things you like. There's been athletes who have asked us for tickets to things. Like, us? Me and
true.
You?
This is true.
Like, hey, man, you got any tickets to that Blink 182 show on Friday? You're like, you could just buy them.
They are in town.
You make hundreds of thousands of dollars. Everybody, like, this is a universal thing. Everybody likes
stuff.
Bobby wants the free nights. Even though, but he's got to not use the alias.
How about that?
Also,
so he's already
what
at the point.
Alias? What?
Yeah. What
do you
alias?
Think he goes with? Like a Ninja Turtle? Is it a famous painter?
No, I think it's a real name. It's just a.
You think it's just a real fake name?
Yes.
It's like if I went by Bancroft, whatever, and then checked in.
I don't think he's going by Tom Cruise. You know,
well, that was always the thing with like other celebrities. They'd say they didn't go by Tom Cruise, but they'd give like a, they'd be like a Renaissance painter, or they'd be like a, you know, like an old. Old NASCAR drivers from the 70s or something. You know, they just choose random names.
He's a superstar. But were you surprised to hear that he? We've always heard the story of players using an alias when they check into hotels for obvious reasons. But like, Vinny doesn't clearly. Yeah. But are you surprised Bobby's already doing that?
I will say a little bit.
I was
a little bit. He's young enough in his career. I'm surprised that. A little bit. I'm surprised. He is also the best player in baseball now. So
I get it.
Maybe times they are a changing. But a little bit, I'm surprised he does that.
And they won't give him the free nights. And as Chris Rose said, like, you're making $260. Nobody's going to feel too bad.
Can't he just have one static fake name and you know that in the sub it's Bobby Wood Jr.? I don't see why that would be a big deal.
What status did Vinny say? He is titanium
platinum, elite.
Platinum,
I don't know,
diamond, gold club at Marriott. That's impressive. Someone says they think Witch using Josh Vernier. That's the name. That would be hilarious.
That's awesome.
That would be amazing.
His alias and Vern, try to get those points while you can, man. If he's using your name, maybe you can cash in. You know, you can cash in those.
That would be the most amazing thing of all time. He is titanium elite. That's second from the top. Unfortunately for Vinny, he's not made it to the top.
How is he not made it to the top? He's
Titanium Elite. Is people who stay up to 75 nights per year.
Well, that would make sense. They're gone on the road for 80.
75% more bonus points. Enhanced room upgrade, so you can get the nicer room a lot of times. He gets a welcome gift of his choice.
All right, next time we talk to Vinny, we got to find out about.
Look at all these.
Next time we talk to Vinny, we got to ask about the welcome gift, and we got to ask him about this.
Lounge access, free Wi-Fi.
He doesn't get points, he said, right? He gets nights. They don't give him the points. He only gets the nights. Yeah. But how many nights is that?
That's quite a bit.
Upgrades, you know?
He wants the nights because when you have the nights, these are all the benefits you get just for having stayed that many nights.
Right.
Right, the points might get you free hotel stays. He might start to pay for his hotel, but when he's at the hotel, he gets, like, free tours and activities sometimes or all kinds of stuff in the cities he's staying in, you know? It's a nice little setup for him and the wife.
Definitely don't travel enough to really make it worthwhile for me.
75 nights a year.
Well, to have any status like that on a hotel. We don't travel enough.
No, I just know you and I have worked with enough people who have been beat people both on the Royals and on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Every single person who ever travels a lot will tell you they got the best reward system. So if you're – now, in your case, if you were traveling, you'd be paying for it and then just being getting reimbursed. So it'd be a little bit different scenario. You would be getting those points. You'd be earning some free nights.
True.
But in Vinny's case,
I don't travel enough.
He just gets the benefits of being a platinum tier member.
I get my Southwest points. That's about all I get.
Yeah, me too. That's it. And now that might have to change. They're changing the whole setup.
No, the points are the same. You just
but everything's all different now. Now I got to decide if my allegiances are changing.
As long as the bags fly free, I'm fine. I don't mind the assigned seats. That's okay. Yes, they're obviously going to charge for the exit row now. Before, you just got lucky you got the exit row. I get it. That part sucks.
That was nice.
Someone says they're a Titanium member on Bonvoy as well. Very nice. To get Ambassador, it's not just nice, but also Spin, which he couldn't get because he doesn't pay for them. I think that's what he was talking about.
So Ambassador's, you got to put a little check out there? You got to give him a little bit of, that's tough.
Well, it's how much you spend. So if you eat at a restaurant, if you went at the hotel, things like
that.
What
does Ambassador Elite get you? You got to stay up to 100 nights a year. Yeah, plus $23,000 of qualifying spend per year. Holy cow!
Yeah, you better be going to the spa at those Marriotts. Woo! You better be having steak dinners at those Marriotts.
But literally, this is just like, we'll do literally anything for you. It says, you have dedicated ambassador available to assist you anytime, anywhere, is what it says, if you're that level. Yeah.
We're never going to find out. Until Bobby Witt retires, we're never going to find out what the alias is, because obviously the whole point is for us not to know. So that's one of those where many, many, many years from now, that'll be something that we'll find out.
Yeah.
Way down the road.
Yeah, what is it? It might change it per year. I would. If I'm not getting the nights anyway.
We'll ask him if he's changing the name up every year or every trip. Just have fun with it, you know?
I would change it to all kinds of pseudonyms.
I'm confused how this sounds stupid, but like, if we're going to Vegas, if I gave them a different name to check in, but once I show them my credit card and license, they'd be like, "Well, that's not the same name." Wouldn't that be a problem?
It probably is a problem for you. It is probably not a problem for Bobby Witt Jr.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough.
It probably would be an issue for you. I won't disagree with any of that.
Okay.
I just don't think it's an issue for the best player in all of baseball. That's all. Slight difference.
Well, it sounds like, so I wonder if the Chiefs are the ones that are booking everything.
Or the Royals,
The Royals, I'm sorry. Do the Royals then use Bobby's alias so that technically,
I think so.
Technically, whatever his alias is, that's the name that's got all the points on it. So Bobby doesn't have to like show an ID or pay. He doesn't have to use a card or anything.
Well,
like
when
that.
You check into any hotel, you know how you check in a hotel. Oh, sure. They make you show your driver's license and you put down a credit card.
I assume you're going to put it for incidentals. Yeah, I assume the team's not covering if you eat that Clark bar in the mini fridge, right? They're probably not covering that bottle of Evian you pull out of the fridge.
Who was? Wasn't there a baseball player story where they just were racking up stuff in the room? Oh man, I'm trying. This was way back. This is a former Yankee, right? Give me some time to find the name. I thought there was a story about that.
Okay. Maybe. I'm sure. I'm sure it wouldn't have been the first time that occurred somewhere along the way. It certainly seems more welcome inside the vast possibility that I would say is.
Oh, Terry Francona racked up a $44 room service tab on ice. He wanted ice. They charged him
$44.
Yeah, this was back in 2016.
Boy, that's
ice cream, sorry. Ice cream.
Oh.
$44.
Okay. Good reminder. We're watching some Chiefs training camp right now, and they're working on a little 7-on-7 drill. And I just watched not long ago Noah Gray make a catch. Should we be talking about contract year undefeated for Noah Gray? coming off his best year.
For a backup?
Looks fresh. You don't think contract year applies to backups?
Well, for him individually, but not the way we talk about it. You know, the late, great Therese Paylor, the way he talked about contract years undefeated. I don't think that applies. He didn't mean that in the context of backup tight end.
I think it applies across the board. I think it's a universal fact. It's a universal truth. And he's a backup, but he'll get regular playing time. Noah Gray will be on the field a pretty consistent amount. I honestly think we might have, maybe we've been overselling Wiley and underselling what Noah Gray is doing again.
Interesting.
Because Noah Gray has proven he has gotten better every single year he's been in the NFL. You'd agree with that, right? From year one to year two, he's better. From year two to year three, he's been better. So there has been a clear line of progression for Noah Gray. And there's always, as you know this, a ceiling or a cap that you will eventually hit that finds that final number. But do we feel for sure that Noah Gray has hit that? And I still wonder if all of this is I don't know. Are the Chiefs overplaying their hand a little bit on the, he says till the wheels come off, we're going to use Travis Kelce the same way we used him when he was 26. At some point, as you and I have discussed, dialing back regular season Travis Kelce snaps in favor of postseason Travis Kelce actually seems prudent. It seems wise based on him missing that final game of the regular season last year. I feel like there might be an increased role for Noah Gray out there if they're willing to go that route.
So what's the tight end room going to be when it's done? It's pretty simple, right? It's going to be Kelce, Gray, and Wiley.
Those are the three.
Even though that, even though Irv Smith is in camp, I mean, they're not keeping four tight ends though. Someone's on a practice squad or something like that. That's one thing. But so they have three. Noah Gray's final year of his contract. Okay, let's say the year's over, and Travis Kelce. Let's assume that he's back next year as well. If Jared Wiley shows what they hope he shows, why would I need to give Noah Gray a contract? If all of a sudden Wiley's my number two, you know what I'm saying? Like
I mean, contract year undefeated does not usually mean you get paid to the team you're with.
Oh, so you're just saying
contract year is undefeated usually means you get that check from somebody else. You prove to somebody else you're worth, and you go get that $8 million a year because somebody who's in a bad tight end spot tells themselves Noah Gray can be R1 or can be in a bevy of two twos, and we kind of make that work because it is hard to explain the drop off between like the top three or four tight ends and five. Is a gigantic chasm. Would you agree with that sentiment? Like, there are like three or four tight ends who are excellent in the league, and then there's a massive drop off and just a bunch of dudes. What I'm saying is maybe Noah Gray could be a dude in that middle range that gets himself paid by a new team if he can show some better counting stats this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not going to not be in the league after this season. So
no,
of course
I just meant for more money.
Of course, he's going to get a contract somewhere after this year. I mean, what does that look like for him as the number two tight end while also Jared Wiley, who we think could be having an impact in the red zone? I mean, what's a contract years undefeated look like for backup tight end Noah Gray? I mean, is he all of a sudden a 600-yard receiver? I don't think so.
Man, let's see. Average annual per year, Noah Fant, $12 million a year.
What's his numbers?
Dalton Schultz, $12 million a year.
What are his numbers, though? Not financial numbers, sorry. Like receiving in. That's what I guess.
He doesn't have as good numbers as Dalton Schultz.
Probably like 650 yards. Noah Fant, when he got paid, he had 670 yards his final year.
Okay.
Before he got paid by Seattle.
But is Noah Gray getting anywhere near that this year in this offense when you have what
he got
looks
to 500
like,
last year? But I mean, it's not crazy.
Right, but here's the thing. The same way we talk about Rasheed Rice.
There's more competition. That's
you know, fair. Last year, Noah Gray, there was more and more reason to use him as a receiver because, boy, oh boy, were things awful with the receiving row. We don't have to rehash it. We all know what last year was. You know, Rasheed Rice came on strong, and I think that's also why Rasheed Rice ended up having as many yards. They had no choice. So this year, if Rice isn't suspended, you bring in Brown, you bring in Ward. You still have Kelce, you know, and Noah Gray, I think, will be very fortunate.
I thought he had 500.
I think Noah Gray would be very fortunate to get to 500 this year.
Okay, so maybe he's a step below that. Because, like, the 650-yard guy, Dalton Schultz, by the way, 635 last year. Drew, he wasn't way better than that. Like, the second tier
that's
of
it.
Tight ends, that's where they are, man. You know the name because they're the tight ends that matter because most teams don't have Laporta, Kelce, Kittle. Every other team has a Dalton Schultz. We're like, that's a really nice tight end. Really nice tight ends have 600 yards a year.
Yeah, so based on what you're saying, he needs to double
his production.
Production.
He had 305 yards last year.
Yeah, does some other team think they can double his production elsewhere? I get this year. I just don't.
I'm saying if he gets to 500, someone will convince themselves of that.
I find it hard to believe that Noah Gray with a better receiving backup tight end behind him now
is
going to have 200 more yards. Assuming Kelce is available all year.
Yes,
because last year Blake Bell was on the roster blocking tight end, so Noah Gray was the only other receiving tight end. Because of, you know, Jody Fortson was hurt and everything like that. So this year you go in and Kelsey, of course, receiving tight end. Noah Gray, receiving tight end. Jared Wiley, receiving tight end, plus an extra wide receiver that hopefully is part of the mix than what they had a year ago in terms of truly contributing.
Much like Kelsey, though, Noah Gray's job is easier this year from the receiving end.
I agree.
Far more attention for the wide receivers. So those underneath, those attack routes, if they actually do stretch the field, there could be some more yardage for Noah Gray. Probably hard for Noah Gray to get yardage last year when every single person is inside of 6 yards of the damn line of scrimmage. That could just change a little bit. I saw Noah Gray and I was thinking about it.
Practice probably about another half hour to go here from training camp, and our training camp coverage is presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Let's get to the latest rumors out there. A big name wide receiver, one point didn't seem like he was going to get moved before the start of the season, but after yesterday's reporting, we could see a big shift in the NFL because of one particular player. We'll get into that next here on Cody and Gold.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.